And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, February the 15th, 2020. Season 14, Episode 4. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome to the show. Everybody, let me do the clapboard real quick. Back. Get that done.
Good job.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for complimenting me on, you know.
Fine motor skills.
Right?
Yep. There you go.
Appreciate that. We're gonna put shapes in blocks or block shapes, whatever. We're gonna put blocks. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for being here, RJ.
Oh, you're welcome.
To Matt and to Nate, fine. Didn't want you here this weekend anyway. And to Matt, I don't want you here next weekend.
He doesn't mean that, folks.
Well, I just mean Matt's not gonna be able to make it next weekend, so yeah. Don't much matter. Hey, if you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. In case that was too fast, 334-272-9228. My attention is turned to RJ, since he's the only one here. So the phone is then put behind me. I will, you know, try and notice it as you call in. Just let the phone ring. Get to you when we can if you call in. All, you know, one of you. Go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat. We actually have an email that I'm going to read here. Which you can do that, everyone at InGameChat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, search for InGameChat. You'll find us and watch us live. Go to our website, click on the link. That's the easiest thing for you to do, is go to ingamechat.net, click on the link, boom. There we are, right on your computer screen. Got the chat room going, live while we broadcast. So far, not a soul in the room, other than myself, RJ, Steven Van Dam, Taxus59, and Kay Olin in there as well. So, anyway, thanks everybody for joining us. That's our show. See ya. I haven't played a lot this week.
Really?
Yeah, man. Destiny's become a... currently, Destiny is a waiting game for new content.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there is no new content. It is basically... Right now, it's a stock market simulator, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
The way the whole currency is, you get invest in this, and before you... You have a thing you have to do to, like, donate this currency that you earn as you play. If you donate it, it goes towards the worldwide goal of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you invest it back into what you've got, you'll get more of it at the next reset.
Okay.
And so right now it's me logging on to dump all this stuff into something else so I get more of it next week. Mm. And then eventually at... on the final week of it or whatever it is, when you can't make any more off of it, you know, it's hit the peak.
Yeah.
It's hit its limit.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can dump it all into the whole, donate it to the world goal thing. Mm-hmm. So, which is not even, right now, I'm not even playing. I'm going and I'm clicking on a button that says, it'll let you donate 10 or 50. And it takes 200 to level up a thing. So I'm just sitting there holding until a bar goes, and that's okay, that's 50, that's 50, that's 50, that's 50, boom, level up. Grab my Ingram, 50, 50, 50, you know, over and over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Is this glitter? Not glitter.
It's not glimmer. It's not the, it's some other currency. That fractalin is what it's called.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I know, it's something new.
No.
But, so, I don't know. I'm not even playing much of it. I did play Defense Grid 2. I decided to fire that up and play some of that tower defense. I'd forgotten how, I don't know about fun, but, I mean, I wasn't bored at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I've only played two levels so far.
Yeah.
Two stages. But I forgot how detailed that thing was, how fun it is to see it all kind of work and everything. Like, you know, you got the path, but you can zoom out and watch the stuff work, or you can zoom way in and see this stuff with immense detail.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least better detail than what I remember. I was impressed. So I downloaded Doom, the most recent Doom, because I haven't finished that. I remember having a save point on it, so I re-downloaded that. I haven't played it. Downloaded Graveyard Keeper, which we've got music from Graveyard Keeper to use in the show, and Defense Grid as well. Couldn't find any music for Defense Grid 2, but I did find music from the first one. Mm-hmm. So we got that coming up. That's it, though. That is it. I've been, yeah. And I really haven't logged into Destiny very much. If I have, I think. I don't remember. There are times when, like, one of the vendor guys is selling, he's selling a lot of things. And one thing that he sells costs 10 of another thing that he sells. Right?
Okay.
So I can have this loop going. Because I've got over, as far as my currency, I've got over 13,000 as far as the currency is concerned, as far as the currency that he takes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've got over 13,000 of them. And it costs like 10 to get what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can do a loop. You know, I can spend a bunch to buy ever how many, and then what I buy, use that to spend to buy the other resource that I can then, you know, whatever. It's, yeah. But again, that's not playing a game to me.
Yeah. In my case, the hardest thing I want to pick up is enhancement cores, because I'm trying to get all the stuff I can for my guns.
Yeah. Enhancement cores, unless you were stockpiling them early on in the first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you were stockpiling them early on in the first year.
Yeah.
When they were kind of coming out like candy, they were dropping pretty easily. You're not sitting pretty. However, I'm over, I don't know, I'm in like 700 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good. I got plenty, and I'm fine, and everything's all right. But yeah, again, and by the way, I'm not throwing this on Bungie. They have, you know, they have a year planned of, here's different seasons throughout the year. We're going to season one, season two, season three, season four, whatever. We're in season two, season one. Was the launch of the Shadowkeep stuff, the brand new missions and everything else.
Yeah.
Had a lot going for it. It had to have a lot going for it because it was a brand new thing, you know, brand new expansion. So it had to have a lot going for it. So then in the second one, they probably saw some things early on in that first launch and said, well, let's tweak a little thing. Let's try something different. Seasons are kind of a test bed, which is shouldn't be. But they are kind of a place where they can tweak something and see how it works.
Yeah.
I can remember this time last season, I was pushing hard to get all the stuff that I needed. And I mean grinding to get all that stuff I needed to get the seal, the triumph, the whatever, some stupid in-game title.
Mm-hmm.
I knocked those out so early this season and got to really where I wanted to be this season that there's nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I don't put that on Bungie so much as the fact that they'll see this, I'm sure.
Hmm.
They can see that there are people who are just not really actually playing the game. There are people doing this donation thing and the loop thing, but there's not a lot of people playing the game. And maybe they'll change that up for next season. Who knows? They've already announced some changes for next season. None really that I'm too interested in. None that put me off of the game. Mm-hmm. Just none that really weren't my concern to begin with.
Yeah.
So I'm just okay.
I think I've been in that situation before, usually with Dark Souls, where you run out of stuff to do, or the only thing that's left is something you have absolutely no interest in, mm-hmm. or something that doesn't benefit
right.
you at
yeah,
all.
Right, yeah, I know.
So the only thing you could do is, for Dark Souls, the only thing I can do is go around and help folks or get someone to another
And I can do that. You know what? I've done that. Last night, last week, when we got done here and I went home, one of the guys who's not in our clan, but he's in our Discord.
Yeah.
Recently new, he's not a new player, but he's, you know, a new guy we met while we were playing, mm-hmm. Just hit me up, hey, do you have time to help me get my wife through the Whisper mission to get the big sniper rifle.
Yeah.
She's bound and determined to do it, and I don't think we can two-man it because she's not good at the platforming sections, so I was hoping you'd come along. Well, at the time, I was rendering video, and I can't run my computer.
It takes all your resources.
It takes a lot of resources to do that.
Yeah.
I can browse the internet. I could play Plague Inc. You know, I can play something that isn't a resource hog.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to play anything, but Destiny would not be one of those things to play while I'm doing rendering.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, it's going to be like 2.5 hours before I can get it back. So I can get it back on. So, you know, to my point. That's exactly what I would be doing if I was playing Destiny. Was here, I'll help you do this. I'll help you do this. Do you want to do this? Sure, I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me help people out. So that's exactly where I would be. We got a phone call, and I don't know who it's going to be because we have no call screener. So I'm going to go in blind. Hey, it's Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I wanted to let you know about another fire in the building. The mobile app for 93.1 is down, so I wanted to let you know about that.
Well, that's just great.
Yeah, I pulled it up several times just now, just a second ago to double check on it. But it's one of those days, isn't it? But other than that, also another couple of things on the games and stuff. Went and saw Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's working for me, Chris.
Huh?
Working for me.
Well, I don't know if it's on my end. Maybe it is.
Hey,
but,
it's Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I wanted to let you about another fire.
Yeah, I hear it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well. So much for that anyway, but the Sonic movie was great.
Oh, you went and saw Sonic?
Yeah, yep. It was fantastic.
Sonic.
Yeah, for anybody out there who's even been remotely wanting to go see it. You'll have a blast. As far as the different movies I've seen that's based on video games, this is the best they have ever made, and they blew it out of the park.
Yeah.
Well, great, man. That's awesome. That's good to hear. I was thinking about going to see it Friday, but some stuff happened on Friday and I didn't go.
I'm going to go see it multiple times. My mother was coming down. You know, I've been wanting to take her out on Valentine's Day.
Do you want to take your mother to see that? Does your mother want to go see Sonic?
Yes, yeah. She wants to go see Sonic. She grew up, you know, playing, you know, like Tetris and Dr. Mario on Nintendo.
Oh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I told her, you know, hey, you, are you planning on coming down? I'd like to go see the Sonic movie. And, you know, we're planning to do that tomorrow, but I couldn't wait to go see it. So I'd probably see it another 2 or 3 times.
It's so weird. See, this is... how my brain works on these things is that, you know, you tell me your mother, and I'm thinking of, you know, my mother who would be, 50, 60, she'd be like 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She would have no interest in going to see a Sonic movie.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I have to remember that not everybody is my age.
Well, I'm about the same age as you too, but, I was born in 79, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, she grew up liking some of the different things like that, and she probably know enough about it from seeing me play the games and all these years ago. But, you know, it's a great family film, and, you know, of course, if you hadn't seen too much about the spoiler, you know, in the middle of the credits, and that was another thing, the first part of the credits was fantastic. They did a lot of good stuff paying homage to the game series and, you know, had an animated scene, you know, that was very reminiscent of playing games.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good, man. That's great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Then I'm glad you went. I mean, it's something, honestly, that I'd like to go. I'm kind of interested in seeing.
There was something about the people who were complaining about that initial
trailer
the characters that came out.
Oh, yeah.
The way it looked.
And
then
they spent all the money and to fix the problem.
Yeah.
And now it's like the ball's in the viewer's court. Okay, we did exactly what you wanted. Come out and see it.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that helps.
And
I hope
it does. Hope it does.
Yeah, that's why I'm letting y'all know about it. But other games that may be coming down the line that you may like, Scott, And RJ, have you heard about that Phantasy Star Online 2 that's been over in Japan for all these years and we've been begging for it, or the fans have?
Yeah, I know I remember playing Phantasy Star Online on Dreamcast and then playing Blue Burst on PC, and then 2 came out and it was available in Singapore. They had the English patch for the Singapore version, but you had to go through a whole bunch of tweaks and things and stuff like that. It was a hassle to get it. If you wanted it bad enough, I guess you could get it, but it's been so long since I've played that game. I don't know if I'm really going to get into it. I guess it's going to depend really on how many folks I know who's going to get into that, but that it's not going to be on PS4 is an issue, so it's going to be on Xbox, but maybe on PC.
It is eventually. They haven't announced when it's going to be coming to the other systems, but in Japan it's already on all the systems, but they've definitely said that it's not going to be exclusive to Xbox and the PC, but you know, they haven't said when, and I'm hoping eventually, but hey, if I have to go out and get an Xbox, you know, if they ever do announce it, you know, to get on there and play it, but you know, it's completely free and it's online only, but
So, I mean,
yeah, I've been looking forward to that.
If they got, well, not crossplay, but
I think it's crossplay between all the systems, from what I've heard. You know, that's all connected together where you can play with other people on different systems as well.
Yeah, but if it's on PC, I've done Phantasy Star on PC before. When I played Blue Burst, I can do it again if need be. But like I said, in the end, really, it's all going to depend on how many folks I know getting on that.
Yeah, but I've watched, they had a beta on Xbox just recently at the beginning of this month, and I've seen a lot of.
Yeah, I heard folks. A lot of folks were pleased with it.
Yeah, we got Thar66 in the chat room saying he played the closed beta. It's pretty good. Graphically, it's showing its age a bit, but it's lots of fun still.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, 8 years, he says, in Japan. It's been out 8 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been out so long that if people have downloaded English patches to play on the Japanese servers and went all of that trouble just to play it so they could enjoy it.
Yeah.
It still are, supposedly.
I would imagine so, yeah. I mean, it's not something that just goes away. I mean, so many folks have been playing that game for a long time. I mean, I still remember my, Phantasy Star Universe playing that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing that as well. A Forte Gunner on that one. Ranger, a medic. Ranger, who was a medic. I was a medic for the team, and so I kept my distance with my rifle and ran into heal when need be and go back out.
Yeah. If it does eventually come out on all the systems like they say it will, I'm going to definitely jump in there and start playing on PlayStation or Switch or whatever. But if you plan on doing the same thing, I'll definitely join up and help you out and have fun with you if that's the case, that like they're saying it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it is something I'm going to look for. I'm going to look for as the months go by. Yeah, I will.
Well, Chris, thanks for calling, man.
All right, y'all have a good
afternoon.
See
if you can get that stream thing working for you, because it's working on my phone.
Okay, it must be signal over here at my house, but, well, if your app is working then, you know, I guess it's something else on my end in the connection, which is weird, so maybe I can just restart the phone. Maybe that might be what it is. You know, some of these things are weird how they work nowadays.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, y'all have a good one.
Take care now.
See you, man.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Never played a single one of those games. Don't know anything about them.
Phantasy Star,
or what was the other one you said? Or was that the same
Phantasy Star, Phantasy Star Online, Phantasy Star Blue Burst, Phantasy Star Universe, all that good
Blue
stuff.
Blue Burst or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
No idea about it. What have you been playing?
I've been playing a little bit of Street Fighter V because they let out the Championship Edition.
I got a new character.
Yeah, they put Seth in there.
That's right,
Seth from 4. So people have been using him throughout the entire week. A lot of people are trying to see what he does back and forth. So it's been a lot of folks watching on the CFN, watching folks having matches. I've been watching their matches and seeing what he can do, and he can do a lot of crazy stuff. He can keep combos going if you give him the opportunity. He can do a whole bunch of stuff with that.
Yeah.
So I've been playing a little bit of that. I've also started over what I planned to do a while back. Playing Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, because I think I've said before how the place I was in game, how much health I had compared to what I've seen other folks have on stream with theirs. I was missing a whole bunch of stuff, so many things I had left behind. So I've just started over from scratch and wanted to take my time searching through everything and making sure I have everything I need when I get to the areas that I've gotten to in the past. So outside of that, Also played a little bit of downloaded the discounted Division 2. It's like what, $3 on PlayStation 4, I believe. So I picked that up. I haven't downloaded it yet, but a lot of friends of mine are talking about playing, getting together, and getting some matches with that.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay. Oh yeah. Not much else beside that.
So. Yeah, I find myself not doing a lot either.
Mm-hmm. it is not like we don't have tons of games available to play. I mean, heck, I just picked up the Yakuza Remaster Collection, so I got 3, 4, and 5 this past Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I got that. I haven't started those up yet, but I got them available. The backlog just keeps getting bigger, man.
That it does. I mean, I still have Control. I haven't touched that. I picked up Days Gone. I haven't touched that.
Didn't the price drop on that Control?
I'm sure it did, but I bought it over Black Friday. So I, oddly enough, after I own a game, I kind of stop paying attention to the prices.
Mm-hmm.
Or I may see like an obscene price cut and think I should have waited. You know,
like Division 2.
See, in Division 2 for like $3 on
PC. Yeah, $3. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
PS4 as well. So yeah. I just picked that up.
Ridiculous. So, but yeah. So, check this email real quick because we got time before we take this break.
Sure.
We rarely get emails, so when we get an email, we are so pleased. If you want to send us more emails, you are more than welcome to do that. We will read your email on the air, assuming that it is clean.
FCC.
Yeah. If it is not, we will censor it ourselves. But,
hopefully,
you know, it's fine. This comes from Thomas Oakley, who says, "Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. And I loved Sniper Elite off of your suggestion." Good. I love that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of the Sniper Elite series.
Yep.
It is a game that I saw. Tell you, the first time I saw. Okay, so way back when, there existed a website called Game Trailers. Now, you know Game Trailers is something different than what I remember Game Trailers as being. Game Trailers evolved and developed and became a pretty, you know, pretty decent, really good video game site. Mm-hmm. With shows and videos and things like that. But they started off being just a hub for video game trailers.
Mm-hmm.
This is back before YouTube. You had
That's
no...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you couldn't go to a site and say and type in a thing and watch the video, the latest trailer for that video game. Mm-hmm. Also, by the way, video games weren't spitting out 15, 20 trailers before it launched. Mm-hmm. Here's trailers for gameplay. Here's a trailer showcasing this exclusive item that you can only get at this store. No. Didn't do all that stuff. You were getting trailers that were. You know, they were whatever, they were game trailers. Sometimes they included gameplay, sometimes they didn't. It didn't matter. You were a beggar, so you couldn't choose. You just take whatever they had available.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it would be potato cam being shaky from somebody recording it at an event off of another screen. But when you were looking for that next thing, you were looking for whatever was available. I remember watching a Burnout 3 trailer. Not a trailer, it was just somebody playing the game,
mm-hmm.
a demo at some event. And it was done, you know, kind of over the shoulder with some form of video. I don't know at the time. Our cell phones really weren't doing a lot of that. But, yeah. So I remember coming across a video on that site, Game Trailers, for Sniper Elite. And I watched it and did the little bullet time thing. And I was just like, oh, I'm in love. I got to find this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't Google. Because Google wasn't doing what it was doing back then. I either Yahooed or I didn't Bing. What was one before?
Dogpile.
Well, see, Dogpile did a search for other search engines. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what they did. I don't know. It was some other search engine. It wasn't Google. And it wasn't whatever Internet Explorer had, which I don't think they had anything at the time. They didn't have Bing or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it was some other thing. Anyway, yeah. I search up Sniper Elite. I find out that it's only in Europe.
Mm.
And so I find a way to order it from Europe. And it comes over on the disc and everything else. And I play it and I'm, you know, and I love it.
And I hold on to that because I'm a hoarder and I hold on to my boxes of my video games. Always have.
Yeah. Good, because it might be collectible
somewhere. I know. I always do. Well, that's the weird thing about it, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Years and years and years later, they do Sniper Elite 3, Sniper Elite 2, Sniper Elite 3, Sniper Elite 4. By the time it got around to Sniper Elite 3, I was going to E3 and hitting up all the different things and doing my stuff. And I got an invite to come look at Sniper Elite 3, and I thought it was fantastic. So I pack my game box that I had bought years and years and years and years and years ago, but I kept because I'm a hoarder.
Yeah, still in good condition.
I pack that with me. I bring it to the show, and I'm like, guys, I'm a huge fan. Can I get this autographed? And they tell me, hey, we can do that, but we're going to have to take it. You know, there's only so many of us on the team here. Do you mind if we take this back with us, sign it, and send it back to you? I was like, that's perfect. Fine. Send it back to me. It's got all these signatures on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Love the game.
Nice.
I've always been a fan of what Sniper Elite has done. Even with, you know, they did 1, 2, 3, 4. Even the gap between 3 and 4 seemed shorter, and it didn't seem like it actually, I want to say, improved upon anything. You got some new maps, which is good, but there wasn't really a big graphical leap or any kind of big leap in anything when that released, but still, it was more of the same, but different, and that's what I wanted. It's just like, you can do burnouts as many times as you want to, as long as I got new tracks,
yeah.
You know, that's it. New tracks, different looking cars, they don't have to do anything different, but just give me new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be reinvented. You know, you don't have to come up with new mechanics. Just keep doing the same thing and keep releasing it. You can do it as DLC if you want to, which we'll talk about, by the way, Criterion, coming up later on the show. Some news about them this week.
Yep.
So anyway, I'm glad that you have loved Sniper Elite, Thomas. Thank you so much, you, Thomas. So he's asking about Zombie Army 4 is what he's asking about, which is an offshoot of the whole Sniper Elite thing.
Okay.
I think around 2 or 3, I can't remember, they started doing this Zombie Army thing. It was very much a cash in on the whole zombie thing.
It sounds like everybody was doing zombies back in for a bit.
Yeah, and then a cash in on that whole whole zombie thing that was in Call of Duty.
Yeah,
you know,
Call of Duty, and then Red Dead Redemption had something like that. And,
So he's asking, do I buy this? I play solo. This seems more multiplayer. It snuck up on me out of nowhere. What would you do, Thomas? If you haven't played any of the previous Zombie Army games, then I would say skip it. If you've played the previous Zombie Army games, some of them at least, one of them, there's been 3 others, and you really liked that, then keep going. But if you've not played any of the Zombie Army stuff, and I will admit that I own some of the Zombie Army stuff and I have not played any of it, then I would say no. What I would love to ask you, Thomas, is what do you like about Sniper Elite? If what you like about Sniper Elite is the whole situation of you sneaking around, being stealthy, doing the goals that you have to do, the objectives and everything else.
I think that was your favorite aspect of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't the run and gun and everything in sight, but it was the patience.
Again, Sniper Elite 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say maybe even 4, all of them ran into an issue where they put you in a position where you had to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Like most of the level, most of the entire level is sneak, sneak, shoot, shoot.
Patience.
Until you get to a certain point in the level. And I want to say this is more on 3 than it was on 4, where suddenly that is not the case anymore.
Get to this point and something triggers and everybody sees where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Suddenly you're trying to take out armored tanks that are coming in, and it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You can still snipe those, and it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I would like to be able to, my objective is to do this thing. I did this thing. I was never seen. Mission end, you know, rather than like, oh, well, wait, now here's all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do that. They would just they'd like to throw in a curveball there, kind of like Splinter Cell would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sneak, sneak up to a point, then it's like, okay, go guns a blazing, but that's not what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. I am not a guns blazing guy. Or at least my character isn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sneak guy.
Why is it even possible to go through that without being seen like that? Sniper Elite is automatic, like you said, automatically just something just pops up. Get to this point and did just everybody sees you and everything like that?
Well, they were good about it. They would the end game aspect,
mm-hmm.
parts of the end game aspect, if they did something like that, they threw in something where reinforcements have arrived and everything else is done.
Mm-hmm.
Certain aspects didn't count against you in that in that section.
Okay.
It graded your progress up to that point.
Yeah.
And like, okay, you ghosted it, right? Mm-hmm. You did fine.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you absolutely get out there and, you know, flag them down and get run over or whatever. Then it's like, oh, wait a second. No, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. But
I'm just trying to think of a method where you could just go through there completely unseen, despite the automatic reinforcement thing coming up like that, the gun blazing mode.
Yeah, like I said, it graded your progress on that, but sometimes no. There was a time, in other words, and we're getting ahead of it, or we need to take a break, but
okay.
There was a level in 3 where I want to say I was at Petra.
Okay.
That's the building that's carved in stone. You saw it in the Indiana Jones Last Crusade when he went into the temple there. That's Petra. So you're in the desert, and you got to clear these things out. And I cleared everything out. And then you walk into Petra. The cutscene is you walking into Petra, getting the information that you need, getting the documents and all this stuff, moving the storyline along.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as you're doing that, you get ambushed as the guys come in. So the guys know your location. You're in that building. Mm. They know that you're in there.
They storm the building. Okay.
They don't storm it. Well, they don't all rush in. They don't all rush in. It's kind of like they all surround it and have guns pointed waiting for you to come out.
That sounds like a classic. Actually, we should be storming the building.
Right. No, they don't, though. They don't.
All right.
I think maybe they send in one or two guys that you have time. And see, that's what... this is where map memory, I guess, kind of comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Because I failed it after that. My first encounter of that, I was like, oh, man. So when I reload my checkpoint to know, you know, this is about to happen,
yeah.
I set up trip mines. I do all that. I was like, okay, they're going to be coming over here. This is where this is going, blah, blah, blah. Set all this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know to do this in the original level because they haven't indicated that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily always happen. So I set up all my stuff and put the mines out where I can snipe them under vehicles and have them blow up and everything else. And so, you know, and then it gets better. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
When you know it's coming, but you're not supposed to know it's coming.
Right.
So, anyway. Thomas, that's my whole thing there. If you have played the Zombie Army games and you liked them, go for it. If you haven't, don't. Most of what I know from Zombie Army games is it's kind of run and gun type stuff. It's a lot of shooting. It's not a lot of sneaking. I'm not a fan of it. Unless they've changed some things, and again, I haven't looked at it, but unless they've changed some things, there is my... there's my verdict on Zombie Army 4. I would rather play Sniper Elite than I would. If I've got the options, I'm going to play Sniper Elite over Zombie Army every single time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. So, Thomas, feel free to write us back. Let us know what you decided to do. We would be curious as to what your thoughts are on that. Also, we'd be curious as to what anybody's thoughts are on any of games that they've been playing, if you got questions about them, or if you just want to tell us some of the stuff that you've experienced and that you're playing and that you really think is good and that other people should play. We would love to hear about that. Email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're going to take a break here. Brand new, released on the PS4 this week, is a game that has been in development for maybe 7 years?
Mm.
It's from Media Molecule. It's called Dreams. And it finally got released this week. It is a creative tool. Where you kind of... Media Molecule, by the way, for those who don't know, that's the Little Big Planet guys. Where you could make your own levels.
Never played that game.
Media Molecule is also Tearaway, I believe. Mm. Which is a fantastic little game. Papercraft type stuff. Mm. But this is called Dreams. The name of this track is called Art's Secret Weapon. We'll be back with more in-game chat after this. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. This is from a game called Gish, G-I-S-H, old game. Track on this one's called Egypt. Welcome back to the show. Some of the news that we've got here. System Shock 3 seems to be dead. Oh, that ended quick.
Suddenly. Not even a fade out.
I know. Dang. It's not even a warning. Just like, done. The development team has reportedly been let go by Other Side Studios, the developer. An anonymous post, excuse me, I don't know where that's coming from. An anonymous post, purportedly from a former Other Side Entertainment developer, confirmed that the entire team is no longer employed and that the game was critically behind. The only reason I'm posting is because I saw so much confusion about the state of the company and the project. I thought some first-person information would be welcome. I never suggested we were halfway done. Core systems are a great foundation for a game, but most of the work is content development, which we were critically behind in, both in real assets and in tool support for an efficient pipeline. Was the failure of the project right? It's hard to say. If Starbreeze hadn't gone into crisis, I think we would have delivered something interesting with some fresh and innovative gameplay, but a much smaller game than what people were expecting and inevitably disappointing for a sequel to such a beloved franchise. So it seems to be all but dead. There was a lot of excitement for when that whole thing was coming about.
Yeah.
And now it is dead. We talked about BioWare. We talked about Anthem still having their Christmas lights up.
Yeah.
And we meant that literally, folks. The Christmas decorations, the holiday decorations in the in-game are still around. They haven't done anything with them. This comes from a Kotaku report. Casey Hudson, the studio head over at BioWare, said, "Over the coming months, we will be focusing on a longer-term redesign of the experience, specifically working to reinvent the core gameplay loop with clear goals, motivating challenges, and progression with meaningful rewards, while preserving the fun of flying and fighting in a vast science fantasy setting. And to do that properly, we'll be doing something we'd like to have done more of the first time around, giving a focus team the time to test and iterate, focusing on gameplay first." It launched last February. Here it is a year later, and they're now going to go back to the drawing board and see if they can fix it.
Yeah. So maybe that $5 investment wasn't a bad idea then.
Oh, did you buy it for $5?
No, I didn't. Oh. But I'm pretty sure some folks did.
Well, I know a lot of people probably did. $5, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not for me. I played Anthem, but no. No, 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 no. No, no. In news that just keeps getting better. So far, we've covered a studio shutting down, a game going back to the drawing board to get fixed, and now we're going to talk about Activision pulling all of their games from the NVIDIA GeForce Now streaming platform. Please be advised, Activision Blizzard games will be removed from the service. While unfortunate, we hope to work together with Activision to re-enable these games and more in the future. The wording of the post suggests that the removed games could return to the service in the future, but as it stands, nothing has been confirmed. There has been no comment from Activision Blizzard that has been provided with the announcement as to why all of that happened. GeForce Now is kind of a streaming service, just like Stadia,
yeah.
You know? But that was interesting that all of their games got removed. Because apparently, from what this tells me, all of their games were there.
Mm-hmm.
And then were removed. So I don't understand what happened. Clearly, you had some kind of a deal worked out that said, okay, we're going to put our games on your platform. What happened? Hmm. I'm curious about that. I mean, it's quiet on stuff. People don't talk about things. I don't know why. Let the cat out of the bag. Let us know. That other news that I was talking about during the email from Thomas when we talked about Burnout came up, well, Need for Speed, the series, is returning to Criterion. Which is good, because I have no idea what Criterion's been doing. They were working on something, then they stopped working on something. I had heard that maybe they got shuttered.
Yeah.
You know, that it was just sort of like Criterion doesn't exist anymore. All the people who used to work there have been moved over to other studios or have left. But apparently it's still around. Following a four-game run with Swedish developer Ghost Games, starting with Need for Speed Rivals, the Need for Speed series is back in the hands of Burnout developer Criterion Games. I wish this brought a smile to my face.
But?
Well, it draws the rays of an eyebrow. How about that? Not so much a smile as a... come again? Okay. We'll see what's going to happen. I didn't like any of the Need for Speed games that Criterion worked on.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't bad. And I played some of them. But I was itching for Burnout. And I'm always itching for Burnout. And they weren't making that for me. Granted, it was between what Ghost Games had done and what Criterion had done, I prefer Criterion. As far as Need for Speed is concerned. It was still arcadey, but not as arcadey as Burnout. It needs to go back to the arcadey Burnout. It needs to be what Three Fields is doing with their dangerous driving. Just less buggy. According to a games industry report, Ghost Games, the subsidiary formerly known as EA Gothenburg, is reverting to its original name and being repurposed as an engineering hub supporting other EA studios. A source close to the situation tells us that developers in the Ghost Games Romania branch, God, they got a lot of places, are being absorbed into other studios sharing their building, while the Ghost Game team in the UK will join UK-based Criterion in working and continuing to work on Need for Speed. EA told the article is still seeking roles for 30 non-engineering positions. The change from Sweden-based Ghost Games to UK-based Criterion was due to difficulty recruiting talent in that area in Gothenburg compared to Guildford, a major development hub. Been to Guildford. Tiny. It's a small place. Or at least it was. The little bit that I got to see of it was tiny. Criterion's previous work on Need for Speed includes Hot Pursuit in 2010 and Most Wanted in 2012. And this from Kotaku says two of the best games in the series. Ghost Games' most recent work was Need for Speed Heat, a game I keep forgetting came out in November. This seems like a very good move for the series. Says this article. Who wrote this? Mike Fahey. That's good. I am interested in what they do. I will always be interested in what Criterion does. But it can't just be the name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, who's still there?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Give me the names of some of the people that are there. Is it still the guys who did the Burnout stuff at this point? Or have they all left and gone on to do other things? I know one of the main guys from Criterion went off to do Ghost Games because he was going to work on the Need for Speed series. I don't know if he's coming back, but I have no idea. I kind of like to know who's all involved, just to see.
Is it just Criterion in name only?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to do? I'd love to know what Criterion has been working on. I wish I still knew some people there. but unfortunately I don't. I know a guy that worked on Burnout 3. He went off and did his own thing, and he made a game on Steam that's done rather well called... It's a Minecraft clone, but it's one of the really early Minecraft clones. Mm-hmm. Fortress Craft, I think, is what it's called. Mm. And it's on Steam. Great guy. He noticed me from... this goes way back years ago when I used to post up stories online. I had a live journal going way back, and I would post like Burnout stuff all the time. And he took notice because he had one as well. He took notice. He's like, "Hey, I used to work at that company and give that." And then I know another guy, Ian, who I'm friends with on Facebook actually, but he quit. He left Criterion and he went to work for Konami for a while. Then he left Konami and went to work for Lionhead Studios. He does not work on games anymore that I know of. I'll have to check and see. He sent me some, he got my address one time. He sent me some old stuff from the staff. Like he had a shirt that said Burnout Staff, you know, mm-hmm. Paradise Island Staff, Paradise City Staff, whatever it was.
Yeah.
He sent me some stuff that he had, because he was cleaning stuff out. He's like, "You want this?" I was like, "Yes, I do." Yes, I do.
Yep.
So that was kind of nice. That was really nice to have. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they do. I love them. I love Criterion. I love what they've done. I've gone back and played some of the old games. It's still fun. They still hold up in a sense. The problem is that the amount of time I put into that game, man, I know the map. I know it well. It only takes a little bit of playing to have all the pieces come right back into place again and be like, yep, mm-hmm. I know how to get over there to do this and do this. I know what I can do. And it just, you know, because there's nothing left for me to do because I've done it all.
Yep.
It's kind of pretty to go around and crash again, but it's not anything that really holds my attention without any kind of new content. So I'd really like to have that. We're coming up on a break here. That's kind of what I'm doing by just kind of stalling here. There's no time for me to go into another article here with how much time we've got left. Do we have enough time on the song? Yeah, I kind of do. Yeah. So again, looking for music, there is no theme that is running in this, other than the fact that I knew I wanted to get music from Defense Grid, and so I looked at my Steam library and saw, well, there's the Ds, and so I went around and got Defense Grid, and then scrolled into the Gs and got Gish. While I was in the Gs, I got Graveyard Keeper. Again, looking at the alphabet here. And that's why you have this one, because when I was getting Defense Grid, I also picked up music from The Dig, which goes way back. This is called Tomb of the Past. We'll be back with more, the second hour of In-Game Chat, coming up right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from another new game that released this week. So we hit up Dreams, which released this week. And this is Darksiders Genesis. Which is a new game in the Darksiders series. Don't know much about it. I think this is the one where we said... Were you here that day? I was looking at the... special edition price or whatever it was.
Oh, the one with that big diorama or whatever, the big...
Comes with like a board game.
Yeah, the one with the board game.
Yeah, it was massively expensive.
Yeah.
I think this is the one they're talking about. Good track, though. I really like the track.
Is that the most expensive? No one. Most expensive. I'm trying to think of the most expensive special edition game ever made.
Well, the thing is, you're going to find those outliers...
Yeah.
Where the special edition is $15,000 because it comes with a motorcycle or something. But there's only one available, you know?
Yeah.
But if you just narrowed it down to typical special edition, as in it does come with a lot of stuff, but it isn't so limited as there's only one available.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You would find... I don't know what you would find. Most...
And I don't want to say Steel Battalion because that was just a game thing and controller. So, yeah. So,
most expensive special edition game. What do we have? Most expensive collector's editions in gaming. This comes from Pixel Vulture.
Mm-hmm.
And it was posted a year ago, so there's been time. This does not give me prices, though. Let's see. This doesn't give me a price on it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, this is... I'm sorry, Pixel Vulture... what is... It says R3500. I don't know what that means. Does that means it's Russian? What is R3500? In dollars. Okay, there we go. Stop this music here. Yeah, that's not right. This is Yeah, I don't know what this is. I thought it was Russian, but maybe it's not.
I think it's South Africa.
This is what this is saying, but South Africa is ZAR, the African Rand. Maybe that's what it is. Let me see if I can figure that out. Okay, that's about right. 3,500 ZAR is $234 in Freedom Bucks. So Halo 5 Guardians Collector's Edition comes in at $235. Destiny 2 Collector's Edition with the bag and everything.
Did you pick that one up?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
The bag was quality, wasn't it?
It was actually pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, the bag was good
quality. Actually quality.
Yeah, it's not like that Fallout one.
No, not at all. The bag was good quality.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, 4,000. So that's $268. I did not pay that much. I don't remember what it was that I paid. Final Fantasy Ultimate Edition was $4,500.
Mm-hmm.
Middle Earth Shadow of War Mirthil Edition was $5,000. Yeah, there it is. Oh God! See, these are. Now I'm getting into the one-offs.
The ridiculous ones.
Yeah.
You see the one I'm looking at now?
Are you looking at the one with the car?
Grid 2.
Grid 2.
Mono edition.
2.3 million.
2.3 million units of currency there.
Because you get a car with it? That's ridiculous. See, that's the ridiculous one.
Yeah.
Let's
see. This 2.3 million unit edition came with the game, a Grid 2 helmet, racing boots and gloves, a PS3 to play the game on, and a street-legal BAC mono supercar. Yes, an actual car that you can drive on the actual road. Goodness. Wow.
Let's see. Does it work?
And then the one after that, folks, says, now this is getting a bit too much. If you thought the grid one was too bad.
Well, I wanted it to do the thing. Two, three.
Was you doing currency conversion?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
15,000. No, $154,234. Mm. For grid two to get that.
Yeah.
And then what's the other one? $5 million for the Apocalypse Edition?
Dying Light, my Apocalypse Edition.
It's a crazy price version of the game that came with your very own zombie-proof shelter. The ability to have your face in the game, and of course, four copies of the game.
Wait,
what?
Zombie-proof shelter and parkour lessons?
Yeah, you get parkour. Well, that's what Dying Light is. It's parkour. It's like Mirror's Edge, but with zombies.
Okay.
That's what that was. Saints Row, $13 million. The versions, this version of Saints Row 4 was never bought by anyone, thankfully. It came with a load of things inside, including a Virgin Galactic space flight.
Only one available.
A Lamborghini. A replica dubstep gun and a few hundred things more. The edition would even set you up to be a spy, thanks to its spy training day included in the package. You would have to fly to D.C. to get all these things, but first-class flights were included.
Yeah. Let's see this thing. Wait. Virgin Galactic Space Flight, full-size replica dubstep gun, hostage rescue experience.
Hostage rescue experience.
Spy training day.
Plastic surgery.
A personal shopper, a capsule wardrobe, 7 nights at the top royal suite at the Burj Al Arab in Dubai.
In Dubai. A week for two
at the Jefferson Hotel in D.C., first-class flights to Washington, D.C. and Dubai, a Lamborghini Gallardo,
New Toyota Prius,
plus 1 year's insurance, and a year's supercar membership. What?
Yeah. Interesting.
The Super Dangerous Wad Wad Edition, a.k.a. the Million Dollar Pack.
Well, that's the thing. You put it out. Okay, so let's see. Let's see what 13 million conversion is.
My goodness.
That's 13 million. So that's zero. I need to add another zero. That comes out to $871,757.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I like Saints Row, but not that much.
Wow. Yeah, I was just curious, and I knew we were going to find something like that was just ridiculous.
Yep.
There it is. Completely off-kilter ridiculous.
Yeah. Now Grid 2 don't sound so bad.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the news here. We got... this was interesting. I say it was interesting. At the same time, I'm like, yeah, it does not surprise me.
Yeah.
Jeff Keighley sent a tweet this past week in regards to his plans for E3. And he made it sound like he was retiring. the way he was talking about it. And I'm like, you're not going to be at E3 anymore.
Yeah.
You could have tweeted that out and said, I'm not going to be doing E3 anymore. My decision. Thanks, guys. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not surprising. Companies are doing that. So
I know, but this was a huge. I'm going to move this back over here. My microphone, by the way, that's what you're hearing. Given what has been publicly communicated about plans for E3 2020, I just don't feel comfortable participating in the show at this time. What? All right, that was not part of what he had wrote on his Twitter page. When he sent out a tweet, he sent out an attachment. I say an attachment. He sent an image, and of course it was a longer text for him to type out his whole thing. Am I reading something from this year? Yeah. Okay, let's see. I saw the E3 website leak this morning and said, you know what? I really need to let people know what to expect from me so no one is disappointed. Oh, please. Oh, dude. Come on, Jeff. Wow. The world needs to know. You know, the world needs to know where I stand on E3. So that no one is disappointed. Yeah, man, you're going to ruin somebody's E3 because you aren't there. You, a guy that doesn't make games. You talk to people about games, but basically you're spitting out the drivel of the sheet of, like, here's the PR thing, don't go out of these bounds. Unless, of course, you're doing your own show, which is the Video Game Awards or anything else that's, like, your own thing. You don't need to delve into any kind of, and not, I don't know what kind of, it's video games, man. And also, it's E3, which is, like, new video game stuff. What are you going to be... How? Where's your head, dude? What is this? I need to let people know what to expect from me so no one is disappointed. This certainly wasn't an easy decision to make, but I think it's the right one for me. And I wanted fans to know before tickets go on sale. Because you're... That's... What? I'm going to buy my tickets so I can... Because Jeff's going to be there. No. This is not what people ever said. Ever. Let's see. First time in 25 years. Never in 25 years has somebody made a decision to go to E3 because you were going to be there. The only people who went to E3 because you were going to be there were people who were told to go with you there so that they could do what they had to do to make the show that you do. Staff. The guys who do the lighting and the camera work and the producers and the writer and whatever else, stage people, mm-hmm. you know, to build your little set. Those are the only people that went with you, and they didn't go. They went because it was their job. It could have been anybody else there and they would have still gone, man. This is not, I don't understand where he's getting this from. This sounds like, this is why I said, like, when I read his thing, now this is the first time I've written this article here.
Right.
When I read his tweets, I was already kind of blowing it off. Like, it's not that big a deal, dude. You're just not going to go to E3.
Yeah.
And now that I'm reading this for the very first time, I'm like, oh, he really thinks it's a big deal that he's not going to E3. Honestly, I'd say I'm glad he's not going. Not because I don't like the guy. The guy's fine. I have nothing against the guy. Do what you want to do. He's a little bit, well, whatever. I'm not even going to say that. I was going to say he's a little bit fanboy with Kojima, but I'm not even going to say that. I just did, but I'm not, what I mean is, look, I got my heroes too, man. And if I was in a position to where I could meet them, get to talk to them, get to see what they do, mm-hmm. I'd be using every single bit of that to do that. Yeah. So I don't hold that against him really. But I'm glad he's not going because it's another thing for E3 to get attention for of like, okay, Jeff's not going. Not that it's a big deal, but if he's going to make it a big deal, maybe it is to the E3 people. And I don't mean E3 people like fans like us or anything mm-hmm. that watch the show. I'm talking about the corporate folks who put mm-hmm. this show on to have somebody else make it high profile that they're not going to attend. I have long said E3 should just die. I feel like it already is. I feel like it's dying.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like we're watching it fade.
Look, well, if we said so many enough companies start pulling out, man, it's going to be not even worth.
Man, it ain't the thing
anymore.
It once was, man. Yeah. It is not the thing it once was. And like all things, as you go through the progression, mm-hmm. Things evolve and change. And I'm not necessarily saying that E3 should die,
mm-hmm.
but E3 should change as we know it.
Mm-hmm. Is it even worth a 3-day event? It's not a 3-day thing.
Well, see, that's the thing. Now it is a sense of this it just happens to coincide when the video game companies do big announcements and reveals.
Mm-hmm.
None of those ever were a part of E3, though. You know, I've talked about this many times, is that E3 as a convention was something that you had to get into separately from all of these press conferences where you would see the reveal of a new console and new games and things like that. Those were all individually held by the companies that put them on, not by the Entertainment Electronics Expo, E3.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get invited to those other things. Those are separate things. They have nothing to do with E3. They do them around the same time because of all the people that are there, because at that time of the year, it would bring in your companies from Japan, your companies from all over the world would descend upon Los Angeles for the convention. And so what better time to hold these press conferences and reveal our stuff or whatever than while we're all here, all in place, to see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
None of that matters anymore. The world has changed enough to where people don't have to come in from out of town anymore. Conferences can be held online. You can stream things. People can watch them like they do now. Demos can be released. Things have turned so digital. I mean, E3 is a digital thing as it is, but things have turned so digital that you do not need the spectacle that once was E3. You don't. And Sony has realized that. Nintendo has realized that. Microsoft is probably not far from realizing that. Activision has realized that. Some big, big companies have realized that we don't need your Entertainment Expo anymore. We can do it our own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily know that they're fed up with your... I don't know the backdoor workings of this thing. I know that when you would go, you had to rent space if you were a company to present to, and I don't know what the cost of that space was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they ramped up the prices to rent that area for the time being. I have no idea if there was some sort of... not necessarily back office deals, but in a sense, like, I don't know, angry landlord. Who's like, pay me this or you don't get in. E3 thinking that they're the Jeff Keighley of video games, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where they had such a mind of themselves, such an overinflated ego that you've got to be at E3. You have to. You'll never survive without us. You have to be there, you know, making that sort of demand. And because you have to be there, this is what it's going to cost you to do that. Nah, man, we good. We don't need it. We fine. Mm-hmm. And they were. And I think it. I think E3 itself, if it doesn't have to die, then it needs to change. It needs to change its structure. It needs to become something different.
This is from an article I saw this is back in 2013. 600 square feet. From what this article tells me, 600 square feet was like $30,000. And that was the smallest space offered. But it doesn't factor in the actual booth itself because they got to have construction. And they had quotes from...
You got to pay. Yeah. You pay for the space and then you've got to have everything else. I don't think that's the smallest they offered, though.
Okay, yeah.
I remember looking at maps when I would go, and it's like, yeah, there were some big spaces for the big guys, but there was also some small studios, some small companies having little tiny spaces.
Yeah. Like I said, this is from 2013, and back then 600 square feet was the smallest space offered.
So what I do see is I could see a company going in and buying that space and then selling out little parts of that space to other companies for a low price. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like once they buy the space, then they could sell it to a bunch of different indie developers, mobile game developers, and be like, okay, you're not going to have, our space is this big and we can fit, 25 companies in there in very small spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So here, rent that out,
Yeah.
And that way it gets the little guys who are able to afford something smaller, it gets them in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility on that one. I don't know. Let's see for the E3 stuff. In terms of the future of the event, Keighley feels that E3 does have a future despite publishers and developers struggling to agree over what that show should be. It's just like, what were we talking about? Mm-hmm. We're in an interesting inflection point between physical and digital events. Okay. All right, Keeley. Apparently, I'm thinking right along with you. Certainly, E3 is in the middle of a transition evolving from what was traditionally an industry trade show. As someone who attended E3 for more than 2.5 decades, there are, of course, a lot of emotions. No, there's not. But when you look at it objectively, E3 is really just an idea about uniting the industry and fans to celebrate the medium on a global scale. I don't think that's the case. I'll tell you why I don't think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
E3 is one show in Los Angeles one time a year. Penny Arcade Expo, PAX, is 5 shows. Four? Four shows. I'm sorry. Penny Arcade Expo is 4 shows mm-hmm. around the country, one in Australia. Worldwide event. Mm-hmm. Global event.
Yeah.
Seattle, San Antonio, Boston. They do have the one where it's the PAX Unplugged in Philadelphia. That's not really video games, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they have the one down in Australia. Then you've got the Tokyo Game Show.
Mm-hmm.
Again, once a year, but it's the global part of that. You have got Gamescom in Germany. Once a year, but it's right there. It's the global part. There's, I think, the EGX, the European Game Expo, maybe, or something like that. There's a couple of others
mm-hmm.
that fit into the global aspect of it. But E3, it does need to be more digital, I think so, because that's just the way it needs to be. Open yourselves up to being less restrictive, not on who can attend anymore, but who can actually see the show.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very restrictive about who could attend. They recently opened that up to the public a few years back, saying, okay, you can buy tickets now and you can go.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they needed the money and they needed the attendance. But they don't have to do that. I mean, PAX opens up and says, hey, tickets are for sale. You can come and see us whenever we're here. By the way, a lot of the panels that we have, we stream on Twitch. All right, E3, do the same thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Stream your stuff. Have it so, do this. This would be fantastic. And E3 doesn't have to do this. It just has to be the game developers. The game companies that go to E3. Set it up so that your demo booth, one of the screens at least, is always streaming
mm-hmm.
to Twitch. So people can watch. You know, we don't care who's playing the game, but it's showing off your game. You know? And I understand it's a thing where it's like, no, we need to control what you see. So we don't want some Joe Blow walking off the street playing our game and he can't progress past, he can't figure out how to climb the ladder, you know, and he's stuck in this one area.
So dude on Cuphead, Dean.
Well, see, that's the point. You make that one screen the demo unit for someone else, somebody that's heavily monitored by somebody at the booth to be like, okay, here's how you move, here's how you do this. Somebody that's constantly watching that person. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other 4 or 5 screens that you've got on the booth floor are just doing their thing for people to go play. But every single game has a stream. Not a 24-hour stream, but you know what I'm saying? A stream during the show so that you can watch it on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Or any other streaming platform. I don't care. But it lets people see these things.
Mm-hmm.
If you have presentations behind closed doors, stop. Stop doing that. You release the footage anyway. Just stream it. You know, make it an event where, hey, the first look at this is counting down, you know, in 3 minutes, you're going to see the very first footage of blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Make an event out of it. You paid the money. Get your money's worth. I don't know. It's my rant. What does he go on to say? It's not really about who buys a booth on the show floor. Anyone who participated in the game festival on Steam around the Game Awards probably has a pretty good sense of my vision for how we bring the world together around games. I did not visit the game festival on Steam. Keeley added that he will be supporting the industry in other ways this year. I'm always open to conversations with game publishers and partners about ways to evolve how we come together for industry events. No matter what, it's really important that we get everyone to participate in these events. That's something I'll look forward to doing at places like Gamescom and the Game Awards. Self-plug. I don't berate him for that. You just go ahead. You do that. Just coming out of your own pocket, you go ahead and plug away your thing. Gamescom's the other one. I mentioned that. Microsoft has confirmed they will be at the event. Sony has confirmed that they will not be at the event. Event organizers, the ESA, issued a statement in January promising to shake things up for the show in June. There's a link here. I don't remember this. You'll be happy to know that we're not producing E3 2020 in a vacuum, they said. For E3 2020, we're collaborating with industry insiders and new creative partners, including the tastemakers at IM8bit.com, to reinvigorate the show and, frankly, to shake things up. We are well down the path on the development and production of a large, super fun floor experience that celebrates gaming culture in an exciting way. Stop it. Super fun floor experience. Oh, stream it then. Let people who can't make it to this show, you know, if Keeley's over there saying it should be more of a global event, then you need to be globally accessible. And I don't mean for somebody to pay an exorbitant amount of prices to book a flight from overseas to come and see your show. Mm-hmm. There are better ways to do that, to get into more people's hands, to get in front of more people's eyes. You should also know we've upgraded our media registration process, blah, blah, blah. E3 website enhanced, layer security measures, blah, 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 blah. The ESA said the show floor would feature gatherings for people to play and celebrate games with experiential zones that delight the senses. You can put smells or something, I don't know. Experiential zones.
Experiential.
That's what I'm probably mispronouncing that. It also promised to be incredibly inclusive, celebrating all aspects of our industry, but only if you can afford the ticket and come and see the show. Beyond that, the group solicited ideas on how to improve the show, asking people to email their thoughts to blah, 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 promising no ideas too large or too small. Okay. I'm not sending you my idea. You should know this already. But yeah. I could go on a rant for days on E3. I really, really could. Mm. I really, really could. Not because I hate them. It's just because they have so many ways that they could do things better.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that there are so many other people doing those things better that they could take the hint from, and they're not. Mm-hmm. And this is the ESA we're talking about.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities for them to get in front of so many more people.
So the frustration is coming from they should adapt.
They're not adapting. That's for damn sure. They are not adapting.
You know the rule, man. Adapt or perish.
They're running the same thing the same way, and they're not changing it up. They did change it up by letting other people come in. Now I will. I'll go back a little bit. Again, I need to get off this subject. If you go back to when I was attending,
mm-hmm.
I got in because I had credentials and whatever. It's like, hey, I'm doing this. Okay, sure, we'll let you in. And it doesn't cost me anything. It's just here's you can get in. It's free.
Yeah,
I had to pay for the flight and I had to pay for the hotel. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to pay to get in. If you were just random Joe Schmo and wanted to go to the E3 show, the tickets were around $700 to $800. Not a piece. That would get you in for all 3 days, but because they didn't sell them separately. They didn't sell it like... You can buy a Wednesday or Thursday or Friday pass or something like that.
Like a comic or anime convention.
Yeah, no. It's like $700 or $800 if you wanted to attend.
Only ticket available is for all 3 days.
But that was the whole point, was like, if you really want to attend and you're not part of media, then you're going to have to pay out the... Yeah. And I hated that.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to go to E3. Mm-hmm. I remember my first E3 was the year that they had closed everything. They held it once in a hangar at an airport or something, and it was really weird that year.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to limit things, which is strange because now they're trying to bring people in. And then the next year, they sort of expanded a little bit. They went back to the LA Convention Center, mm-hmm. but they didn't necessarily have what was a conventional show floor. everybody had office space. So you'd walk into different rooms and say, okay, they'd sit down with developers and talk to them. It was very one-on-one. It was very face-to-face stuff.
Closed offices, huh?
Not necessarily closed offices. Doors would be open, but everybody had their own little room.
Yeah, just
it wasn't room. Like a show floor where...
So it's not like a dealer's room. It like a convention, like open floor. You can see
around. Right, right. Like it wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
Like it is now. Yeah, it is like that now.
Yeah.
And has been ever since I went, with the exception of my very first one. The very first one, they were all in like office space type stuff. Mm-hmm. And you just walk in, and I had an appointment. I remember sitting down with Ed Boon.
Yeah.
Because we were looking at the very first MK versus DC.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, I got to sit down and actually talk to Ed Boon. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. And one-on-one. And I could sit there, and oddly enough, if I compare it to the other times I went when Mortal Kombat was there, mm-hmm. That first time, I could have just had a regular old conversation with Ed, man. Mm-hmm. I could have played some of his game, and then I'd say, hey, man, what do you think about such and such? And he could have just casual conversation. Mm-hmm. Whereas... years after that, I would have to see somebody else who was with Warner Brothers or whatever the studio he was representing.
Netherrealm.
Yeah. Hey, I'd like to, an appointment to see. Well, he's all booked up. You can't do whatever.
Yeah,
okay. No, man. No. And he was going through the spiel and everything. No. It was so refreshing, and I didn't know it at the time. You know, it wasn't until the years later that I realized, boy, I like that format better.
You never know what you got till it's
gone. I know, right? Man. So, it was so refreshing to sit down and actually talk to, maybe not somebody like Ed Boon, but somebody that worked on the game, a developer, part of the game. And just to get to sit down with them and walk you through the levels of whatever it is you're playing, ask them whatever you wanted to ask. That was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to take a break. I'm sorry. I really am. I get on these rants, and I apologize.
Hey, you're passionate about it. We get it.
I know, but I know that there's somebody listening who's later listening after they've downloaded this thing and thought, Jesus, man, would you shut up?
Can't stop you with Destiny.
Right? Well, I know. I get that. Here's music from Defense Grid. I couldn't find music for Defense Grid 2, but I could for the very first one. It's the main menu music. We'll be back with more in-game chat after this. To in-game chat. Music here from Graveyard Keeper. It's the main menu music there. I haven't played it. I downloaded it, but I haven't played it yet.
Is it like just Graveyard Simulator? Just managing
kind of, yeah. Okay. Kind of. Again, I haven't played it, so I can't necessarily tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you it's available for the PC, Switch, probably on PS4, probably on Xbox as well. Mm-hmm. Tiny Build. It's those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Best part was at PAX this year. When I was in Seattle, they were demoing the Switch version of the game,
mm-hmm.
and There was, I think there was 8 coffins that you would lay in and play the game. That was how the demo units were set up.
Yeah.
Were coffins that you had to lay in and play the game. And they had a fog machine.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was perfect.
Get that atmosphere going.
It was perfect. It was perfect. Loved it. It was great. So, but. What do we have? So we talked about Keeley doing his thing. That sent me off on a ramp. New Prince of Persia game coming, but it's a VR thing, and apparently an escape room title. Okay. Marvel Avengers got a special. You know, we're talking about special editions, and Marvel Avengers got one. What do we have here? We got different versions. We have the Avengers Deluxe Edition, which comes
three, isn't it?
Huh?
Standard, deluxe, and limited, or whatever?
Standard, deluxe, and Earth's Mightiest edition.
Yeah.
The deluxe edition includes an obsidian outfit pack, which is 6 different outfits, or 6 different hero outfits, I guess, in-game stuff for you. 6 exclusive obsidian nameplates, which I'm guessing maybe that's also in the game.
Yeah.
Something. And 72-hour early access. Earth's Mightiest Edition. A 12-inch statue of Captain America designed by Gentle Giant. A copy of the deluxe edition of the game. Exclusive steelbook case.
Now Scott's tempted.
I'm actually not, because they have a picture of it, and I'm like, that is the boringest looking steelbook I've ever seen.
Solid color, plain.
It's the big A. It's the Avengers A logo on it. That's it. But the problem is that with Age of Ultron and with the first Avengers movie, that's exactly what they were.
Oh,
they were the logo. The first one was just the Avengers logo, right? Mm-hmm. Age of Ultron was the logo, but done in the Ultron stuff,
Ultron circuitry thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which was cool or whatever. I mean, I was going to buy the movie anyway, so I picked it up on that steelbook. But yeah. Mm-hmm. And so seeing another steelbook that's got the stupid A on it, I'm like, no, I don't want it. Okay. A Hulk bobblehead. A Meow Meow keychain, which is also Mjolnir.
Okay.
But that's what she called it in the Thor movies, was Meow Meow.
Who?
Not, oh God, now I'm forgetting her name. The girl who played Amidala in Star Wars.
A character called it Meow Meow. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. What was her name? Why am I drawing a blank on this woman's name all of a sudden? Natalie Portman.
Okay.
She was in the first Thor movie.
Okay.
And she had a friend who was, that's what she called Mjolnir, was Meow Meow. Iron Man's prototype armor blueprints. I'm gonna make a gesture here that you can't see on the radio.
I'm guessing it's a fold out, like a fold out map in an RPG.
It is. It's it's fold out blueprints, and I'm just like,
fold it out, frame it, put it on your wall. I guess. Okay.
Kamala Khan's honorary Avenger pin, commemorative Avengers group photo, and 72-hour early access.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also I forgot Black Widow's belt buckle.
Okay.
This is crap.
But someone will buy it.
How much is it, though?
$150.
$350.
$350.
No, I was doing the whole South Park thing.
Okay. I'm just guessing. I'm guessing,
I don't know. Let me look. Avengers Earth.
Yeah, I'm just guessing $150.
Mightiest edition. Give me a give me a link to something where I can order this thing. Not Marvel, not IGN. There's Best Buy.
Yeah, thinking like $60, $80, $150. The typical breakdown.
You could be right. Okay. So the deluxe edition, the regular edition is $60.
Okay.
Deluxe edition is $80.
Okay.
Earth's Mightiest Edition. With all that crap I just mentioned,
yeah,
$200.
Ah, off by 50.
Or 6 months of easy payments with $33 every month. Apparently, you get some financing when you buy from Best Buy now.
Mm.
Which I stopped over there on the way here to pick up two steelbooks I had on order.
Hmm. What'd you pick up?
Ford versus Ferrari, which came out this week.
Oh, okay.
And the 4K edition of a movie I don't own, but I have seen, Shutter Island. With Leonardo, it's a Martin Scorsese film.
Oh, okay.
With Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
Yeah. What is this? Yeah. But yeah. So there's that. Half-Life Alyx gets a release date. March 23rd is that date. That's, of course, a VR thing, but
yeah.
Trust me, there will be videos up online so you can watch the whole thing since you don't have VR,
mm-hmm.
or if you don't have VR. Not only that, people will scour the thing to give you to add to the story of Half-Life since mm-hmm. it's been so long since we've had any continuation of that game.
Longer than Phantasy Star, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, easily. You know, I mean, they left us with a cliffhanger in episode 2 and never did an episode 3
mm-hmm.
for Half-Life 2, much less giving us a Half-Life 3
yeah.
or anything with a 3 on the end of it from Valve. Man. So we don't have enough time. Dang it. Here, I'll go over the DICE Awards real quick. I won't tell you the nominees, but I will hit up the winners. Portable Game of the Year was Sayonara Wild Hearts. Outstanding Achievement in Game Direction was Control. Role-Playing Game of the Year was The Outer Worlds. Racing Game of the Year was Mario Kart Tour, which is a mobile game. Death Stranding won Outstanding Technical Achievement. Disco Elysium won Outstanding Achievement in Story. That perks up an eyebrow because I like good stories, and maybe Disco Elysium is something I should look into. Original Music, Control. Game Design, Baba Is You. Outstanding Achievement in Character, Untitled Goose Game.
Probably the uniqueness of it, probably.
Very. But it kind of, like, well, is there more to this Goose Game than what I've seen? Art Direction was Control. Animation was Luigi's Mansion 3. Game of the Year, Online Game of the Year, Apex Legends. Immersive Reality Technical Achievement, Blood and Truth. I don't know about that. Immersive Reality Game of the Year. I guess this is talking about VR.
Mm-hmm.
Pistol Whip. Fighting Game of the Year, Mortal Kombat 11.
Mm-hmm.
Family Game of the Year, Super Mario Maker 2. Adventure Game of the Year, Fallen Order. Action Game of the Year, Control. Achievement in Audio Design. That's a jump from going Family Game of the Year, Adventure Game of the Year, Action Game of the Year. Audio Design. Death Stranding. Outstanding Achievement for an independent game, Untitled Goose Game. And Game of the Year went to Untitled Goose Game. Okay. I haven't played it. I don't know.
Be fun, be unique. That's all you need, really.
Yeah. So here's the part that I was like, oh, gosh, I forgot all about this in my whole rant of E3. I forgot to talk about Sony and the PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the issues that they were running into.
Yeah.
This comes from a Bloomberg report saying that some of the technical components that make up the PlayStation 5 are facing shortages, causing the cost of individual units to rise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's on Game Pass. Oh, thank you, Lethal Migraine. I really need to look into Game Pass more to see what gets added. So, good. I can play that. Awesome. Mm-hmm. I would like to do that. Do we have a phone call coming in?
Yeah, wrong one.
Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
This is Jason.
Hey, Jason. How you doing, man?
I'm all right, man. It's interesting listening to y'all's show. I think what y'all were talking about a minute ago was the name of Thor's hammer in that movie that y'all were talking about. I can't pronounce the name of it.
I think it was called Mjolnir?
I don't know how you pronounce it. It's weird. That was my favorite comic, The Mighty Thor. At one time, I had enough of them, you could read a different one for a whole year.
Yeah.
But I don't know where they are now. Bring back memories. Well, enjoy the show. I just wanted to chime in for a minute.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, dude. Right. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Take care. You always said Molnar. I thought the J was silent or something.
I'm not saying the J. Mjolnir? I don't know. It's Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer.
That's what we call it. Yeah. Anyway, Bloomberg was talking about this and was saying that...
Yeah. Difficulty in getting a price because they got components.
Yeah.
The price of the components are maybe may cause an issue with the final price point that they're having on there.
Driven by high demand that could drive the price of the PlayStation 5 to around $500, according to a report. Mm-hmm. The current manufacturing cost of the PS5, Bloomberg says, is around $450. Bloomberg says Sony is taking a wait-and-see approach, meaning waiting to see how Microsoft prices its Xbox Series X console. See, Sony put themselves in a good position here by not being at E3. Mm-hmm. Which means they don't have to announce anything until Microsoft does theirs.
Right.
They can now set their pace at how they want to reveal information. It's not set in stone that they're going to reveal anything during E3.
Yeah, but we've had this happen before. Usually it's best to not be first anyway.
Oh, it's completely best to not be
usually
first.
Usually the person who comes out first is the one that makes all the mistakes, and the one who comes up second, you know,
if you well, it's exactly like that. If you show your hand, then everybody else knows what you've got.
Exactly.
And can adjust accordingly to undercut you.
Yeah.
So
that's just a wait and see approach.
You go back years ago when Xbox One and the PS4 were going to be released. Mm-hmm. Xbox One was the first out of the gate saying, "Here's our system. Here's how much it's cost. Here's how much it's gonna, or here's when it's gonna release." Sony comes back later that night,
mm-hmm.
or the next day, I think, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and says, "Oh, well, here's when we're going to release," which was 1 week after the Microsoft console,
mm-hmm.
and we're coming in at this much, which was $100 cheaper than what Microsoft had done.
Yeah.
And when you put those two side by side, you're always going to have the person with a lower price as the winner.
Yeah.
You always will. It has been proven time and time again. You go back to PS3 and see how much that cost out of the gate. $500, $600, or $600, $800, I think,
mm-hmm.
were the two SKU units for that. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Bought one. Ridiculous. and then the 360 comes out and says, this is how much we're going to cost. Mm-hmm. 360 ran away with it.
Yeah.
Even with all the red rings of death and everything else that they faced, 360 ran away with it because putting them next to a shelf in a store... now online, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The Christmas present is going to go with the smaller priced object.
Get like games. Remember how NFL 2K5 and the battle between NFL 2K5 and Madden 2005? Yeah, Madden 2005 was like some special edition. That thing was like $50, and then NFL 2K5 came out and it was like $20.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and everybody bought 2K5's version of football instead of Madden. And after that year, that's when EA went to the NFL and got that exclusive deal because of all the money they lost from potential sales because of what 2K5 did.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I wanted to spend so much more time on this, but I got on that rant with E3 and didn't get to talk about this. This is something that we'll have to carry over into the next show.
Yeah.
We have to, because I really want to talk about price point and what these guys can do and what they can't do.
Yeah.
I think they can't go
to the $600 mark. They can't go over 600.
600,
500 is bad enough as is, but 600
no,
would be
500 is absurd.
Because
if you again, but see, it's only absurd if your competition is less.
Mm-hmm.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
If your competition is the same as you, then it might still be absurd, but then you're kind of neck and neck in a price point.
Yeah.
But if either of them go lower, then you're the one that's out of, you know, whatever the case. If you cost more than the other person, then you're, you know, whatever. But that's the only difference.
Yeah.
And I really want to talk about this because I have some theories, I have some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have another rant, but to go on. But anyway, we don't have time for that. We are out of time because I talk way too much. Join us next week when this will be the topic of conversation that we shall have. I want to thank everybody for joining us this week. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great week. We're going to leave you with music from a game called, it was in the D's when I was scrolling through my game list, and it's called Darwinia. It comes from way back. The track is called Visitors from Dreams. We'll be back next week with another episode of In-Game Chat. Have a fantastic week, folks. See you next Saturday.